Chapter 9. Troubles Begin.
"New York is changing,"
said Mrs. Archer at dinner in the middle of November. She said it every November, as the theaters opened and the new season of parties and dinners began.
"When I was young, it was vulgar to wear a dress in the newest fashion. We always put our new dresses away for a year or two. But now, Regina Beaufort wears her new dresses as soon as she buys them."
"Poor woman," said Mr. Jackson. "Her husband's bank is in great trouble now. Beaufort has behaved badly."
But Mrs. Archer did not want to speak about something so unpleasant.
"And now it's normal for people to go to Mrs. Struthers' Sunday party. You know, I've never really forgiven Countess Olenska for being the first of us to go."
"Oh, Ellen," said May quietly, her face turning red. "I don't think that she cares about society, but nobody knows what she does care about." It was 4 months since Archer last saw Ellen, that hot summer's day in Boston. Archer knew that the whole family, even old Mrs. Mingott, was cross with the Countess for not going back to her husband. They all agreed that it was the right thing to do. A young woman should be with her husband. But why did May's face turn red when she spoke about her cousin? After dinner, Archer and Mr. Jackson smoked in the library while the ladies went to the sitting room.
"You know that the Countess's name is going to be mixed up with Beaufort's," said Mr. Jackson. "Maybe he gives her money. What will people say if she goes back to her husband after Beaufort loses all his money? They'll believe that it was true."
Archer was burning with anger, but he said nothing. After he and May arrived home, Archer still felt angry.
"I'm going to Washington on business next week for a few days," he said.
"Go and see Ellen while you're there,"
May said, looking him in the eye. Archer immediately understood all the words that she did not say aloud. Her look said, "I know that your advice to my cousin is the opposite of what my family wants, that she should not go back to her husband. I know that you want to see Ellen in Washington, and I want you to see her and explain to her what people are saying about her and Beaufort." Over the next few days, the problems at Beaufort's bank got worse. By Wednesday, the bank would not be saved. It was bad for all the banks, and terrible for many of Archer's friends and family, who lost a lot of money. Then, a message arrived for Archer at his office.
"Please come as soon as you can. Granny has had a stroke. May."
He hurried to Mrs. Mingott's, where May met him in the hall. He was relieved to hear that Mrs. Mingott was already able to speak a little.
"The doctor is sure that she'll get well," said May. "But can you believe that Mrs. Beaufort was here yesterday evening asking for Granny's help? And then Granny had the stroke in the night. Granny wanted us to send Ellen a telegram, too, so she's arriving from Washington tomorrow. I don't know who can meet her at the station in Jersey City. It takes 2 hours each way.
I could go, said Archer. I can get away from the office for a while, if I can take your carriage.
His heart was beating very fast, thinking about 2 hours alone with Ellen.
But aren't you going to Washington tomorrow?
Oh, I'm not going. Mr. Letterblair is going first, and I'm going later.
Archer hated lying, but he hated the game that May was playing even more. She knew that he was lying. The next afternoon, Archer walked impatiently up and down Jersey City Station, waiting for the Washington train, saying to himself, 2 whole hours together, maybe more. Then, suddenly, Ellen was at his side, looking pale and surprised. He took her by the hand, promising that her grandmother was not in danger. Inside the carriage, he took her hand again and kissed it. Before this happened, I was planning to come to Washington to see you, he said. She turned to look out the window. Oh, Ellen, he cried. You must see that this can't last. Our being together and not together?
It was a mistake for you to come today, she said quietly, still looking out the window.
Then, suddenly, she turned, threw her arms round him, and kissed him. The next moment, she quickly pulled away from him, as a light shone into the carriage.
I want more than an hour or two with you every now and then, he cried.
You choose a strange place to tell me. In your wife's carriage?
Should we get out and walk?
No, because I have to get to Granny's as quickly as possible. We must look at our real lives, not dreams.
For me, this is the only real life, he replied.
Is your idea for me to be your lover, then? Because I can't be your wife? She asked.
Archer was shocked. I want to go away with you. To a world where we'll just be two people in love. She gave a sad smile.
Where is that country? Many people have tried to find it, but they never do.
Then what is your plan for us? Asked Archer.
For us?
But there is no us. I can only be near you if I stay away from you.
And it is the same for you.
Then we can be ourselves.
Archer could not speak for the pain. Then he knocked on the roof of the carriage and the driver stopped.
I'll get out here, he said to Ellen, opening the door. You're right. It was a mistake for me to come today. He turned away and his face was wet.